Chat and Flicks, the movie and TV podcast. I'm your host, Carl Pearce, and today we have Richard Dillon.
Hello.
I thought you were going to introduce yourself then.
I was like, I know, I was like, but I've just had a I've just had a can of Coke, and I'm about to just go sort of like, yeah, full on burp.
Is it Coke or is it Pepsi Max? Because it looks Pepsi Max. Let you off then.
Other
Pepsi Max, by the way.
All the drinks are available.
They're not. Pepsi Max is the best. And today's episode, we are talking all things robots.
All things, everything robot.
Everything, every single robot ever.
Robots making robots, people making robots, robots from the future, robots from space.
Robot killers. Robot friends.
Computers making robots.
Half man, half robot.
Yes, yeah. Androids, you name it.
Yeah. We're going to talk about it. So we're going to sort of talk some of our favourite robots. We might talk about the films that they're involved in, because that's got to be a big part of it, isn't it? The film that they're in.
Yeah. I reckon we've got to start with... It's not necessarily the best robot film, but it's...
Well, go on then. Straw opinion. What's the best robot film? Because there's loads of sort of robots in films.
Yeah, and they're all different. They've all got their... I mean, are we thinking about evil robots? Are we thinking... I'm going to say it's probably the one out of the film, because when we start these podcasts, we actually do a little bit of prep, believe it or not.
Sometimes we do.
I mean, I say prep, you know, we press play and record and stuff like that on the devices. And when Carl said, okay, well, we'd, and I was thinking, right, what's the best robot? And then I started thinking about this film that I was going to mention, and I reckon it's the, I can't remember his name, Sonny in iRobot. I think he is the best robot, but that's what I wanted to start to talk about, because that's your robot laws, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isaac Asimov's created robot war, and would have been brilliant if Lee was with us, but Lee is no longer with us. Because I know that he loves all things like that, and I know he'd be going on about a certain film that we may touch on again. But I think iRobot is just the quintessential, quintessential robot.
It's the foundation of all, I mean, like literal robot laws. If they do end up having AI robots, which I'm sure hopefully not in our time, but
the laws are brilliant. There's only three of them.
Go on, Moradi.
I have no idea.
Oh,
basically, what we'll do,
no robot will harm a human.
Yeah, and then the second one,
no robot will harm itself
unless it can
flicks with the first one.
Yeah, that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and no robot will
let harm happen to a human unless it conflicts with the first two.
Something like that, isn't it?
And that is
fine, dolls.
So clever. it covers all bases.
Yeah,
and it's so simple. Three easy rules that govern what robots can and can't do. So those who haven't seen the film, I think it's simmering away, and it needs to be revisited. A death happens. It's actually a suicide, isn't it?
Don't spoil it.
Oh.
Doesn't that spoil it?
No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
Because it's investigated as a suicide.
Okay.
One of the founding forefathers of the robots, played by one of my favourite characters, James Cromwell, who's like the boss in L.A. Confidential, but most notably as the farmer in Babe, one of the best films. Oh, no, come on, it is an amazing film.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen it, and I don't intend to.
Oh, right, well, no. When we do Matrix Night, we're actually not going to do Matrix, we're going to do Babe Night.
Hang on a minute.
Seeing something else, Babe Night.
On the Babe station. By the way, it's called The Matrix...
I know, but it's
Matrix,
too long to say that.
Don't say Matrix, The Matrix.
I've got to say The Matrix. Okay. I know that.
Right, I've got the laws, by the way, Isaac Asimov's laws. So it's a robot shall not harm a human, or by an action allow a human to come to harm. Okay. Law two is that it shall obey any instruction given to it by a human, unless it conflicts the first one.
Yeah.
And the third law is the robot shall avoid actions or situations that could cause harm to itself, again, unless it conflicts the first two. Mm. There you go. But it's a genuine sort of staple of AI going forward in the real world.
Yeah, and that they were written. So, I mean, maybe people don't know who Isaac Asimov was. He was a writer from the probably 60s, I'm going to say 70s and 80s, though. And there's loads of little short stories and things like that that films have pulled their storyline from it. And iRobot, I think, is pretty much...
1950, iRobot was written.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Oh my god.
Now I read iRobot.
Wow.
On holiday, a long time ago now. And it's nothing like the film.
Mm.
it's not a murder mystery. It's not like action oriented, which is fine, by the way, because you know it, the film takes the themes and ideas.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
And it is just situations with the with robots.
Right.
It's not necessarily the main character, Will Smith's main character. It's not him sort of solving crimes, I think, which is fine. Yeah.
So anyway, going back to the actual story, one of the main scientists is commits suicide. Or does he get murdered? Now I can't remember.
Doing a good job here of telling the story of this film, like you really like.
Anyway, and Will Smith's character is brought in to investigate the murder. He is specifically brought in by request by the murdered person or the killed person or whatever. And he says, why me? And basically it's because he hates robots. He despises everything about them, hates all the artificial intelligence. Because of an incident that happened earlier on, which we're not going to go into. So he's the perfect person who's not going to be swayed one way or the other.
Yeah, he's going to be very
unbiased.
Objective. Whichever one it is.
Subjective.
Whichever one.
Both of them.
Maybe. Unbiased is a good word.
But there's so many little nice touches in it. There's a bit where they talk about how robots will gather when they're all together. As opposed to just sort of like randomly stand around away from each other, but they'll actually gather together. Mm. And how are they actually, it's a little bit like Jurassic Park, are they actually moving on themselves? Are they evolving themselves through their own little niche programming in the in those, still maintained by those three laws, but within their AI? So,
so
very good film.
Correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it Sonny who's sort of evolving in that way? Isn't he the first to sort of go that way? Am I right there? Isn't he like a little hint of...
I don't know, possibly. Because he said he was dreaming, doesn't he? He says that he's having a dream. He sketches a dream that he has. And a saviour. And I think maybe... I thought that he was... Maybe he was. He was sort of singled out and beefed up, wasn't he? But I think, I don't want to spoil it or anything, but yeah, he's been beefed up by the scientists for reasons that we find out later on. Why has he got mega strength? Why has he got certain alloys in his, I'm going to say body then, but I suppose it is.
Yeah.
Skeleton.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah.
But is he the first one? Or is he the one that he created? Or did he create himself?
Yeah. I can't remember, to be honest. I'd love to watch it again. But yeah, it's a really good film. And some great action scenes in it as well. You know,
Sean Connery.
So yeah, there's a particular one that sticks out with the car in the tunnel, and all the robots are coming out of the big lorry.
And it's just chaos, isn't
it? And it's madness. And it's self-driving cars, by the way. You know, we've got them these days. You know, they do exist. So it's the way the future's going.
I love the way it's the. I'm trying to think of a way of doing these podcasts where I don't spoil things, or we don't spoil things, or we talk about how the chase scene develops after the chase scene.
Mm.
I think that that's a way of putting it without saying that...
As a good resolution to it, or follow?
Yeah, there and then in the tunnel.
Yeah.
I think that's not giving anything away.
I think that's all right.
That's boss, that.
Yeah. It's a good robot, good fit. And you know, done well as well, isn't it? Like in terms of, you know, the CGI of it. You know, here's a CGI robot.
They
all are.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Right,
for me, in terms of my favourite sort of robot, is more of a cyborg, but it's RoboCop. Now, it's a great film anyway, so ignoring the film, what's great about RoboCop is it's just sort of stereotypical, you know, robotic movements, slow, you know, not slow, but it's slow, it's methodical, it's all, he looks like a robot, like Peter Weller, wasn't it, plays RoboCop in the first two films, I think it was, you know, he spent a lot of time on his movements and how a robot would move, and I think he's done it really good. I love the way he turns, you know, turns his head, then turns his body, and then turns his shoulders, and I love all that, it's great, but yeah, so for me, RoboCop, you know, he's got that robotic voice, he's near enough indestructible, he's got human traits because obviously the copper, whose name is Murphy, He's still in there, using his brain, if you like, and his skin. So for those who haven't seen Robocop, basically, it's set in a futuristic Detroit where crime is taking over the city. It's madness, basically, like the Wild West. A copper gets killed on his first day, and then the corporation who owned the police own his body, basically, and take his body and put it in a robot body. And then he becomes the Robocop, and it's him conflicting with being part man, part machine, and, you know, trying to remember who he is as a person, but still being a Robocop. And that's very gruesome, very gory.
Yeah, it is. It's not pleasant.
Very satirical as well, you know, with the adverts and things like that. It's got dark humour in
there. Is it Paul Verhoeven?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very him.
Yeah. Because he's done Starship Troopers, didn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Very similar in
Total
tone.
Total Recall.
Yes, yeah. Very similar
and
in tone.
You can see that. It's almost comic book. It's almost... the cars in Total Recall, It's like it's shot from in the 50s, the 50s view of the future, and it's kind of shot like that, it's clearly, you know, the Johnny cab's dreadful, but I think it's got that sort of that 50s charm that like Flash Gordon, the original Flash Gordon's got.
Yeah, it's plausible as well. Like you could see that happening. Like, what would make people be more relaxed in a driverless car?
Yeah,
they'd stick a.
Stick a
smiling face in the, you know, a fella who talks to you and tries to calm you down. They'd stick him in the front, wouldn't he? Yeah, that is plausible. Give it a face, give it a name. You know, in the house you've got Alexa and things like that. You know, Alexa is like a person now sometimes. So it's like, you know, that's how you would make humans more. What's the word?
They're comfortable
with technology. But yeah, Robocop, great film as well. I mean, I lent you them Robocop films, didn't I? And
quite a long time ago now,
but they're so good. So he's my favourite. And the way he shoots the fella in the balls at the start, you know, being held hostage.
And there's all the cliche stuff all the way through it, but brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic.
Really, really good. One of the biggest that we've got to cover is the Terminator.
Oh yeah,
in all its guises. So let's stick with the first Terminator, the T.
800 is it? T-800, I think.
All I'm thinking of is T-1000, but that's in the second one, isn't it? That's the
T-1000 is from number two.
Right. Yeah. But let's stick with the original Terminator.
So what's the premise of the Terminator? And all its glory.
Oh God, blow it. Right. There's the machines have taken, AI has taken over.
Yeah.
AI has decided that the greatest threat against humans are the human race themselves. So let's wipe them out before they wipe each other.
Logically makes sense.
Scarily, yeah. And of course the humans fight back, and they now who invented the time machine in it? The humans.
Well, assume it's Skynet. So Skynet is the AI who's ruling the future Earth.
Yes.
So you assume that they're.
And then
they've invented it.
The humans send a.
Yeah, because they send the robot back first. They send Arnie back first.
They send Arnie back to basically kill the mother of whoever started the big resistance group against the robots.
And Arnie plays a robot. Basically, he's a
endoskeleton.
Covered in human skin.
Yeah, he's not, is he? Now, where do we call androids? Androids are androids just things that look like humans.
I think so. So he's probably an android, isn't he?
And what about cyborg?
Is cyborg's half human, half robot.
You got a little bit of the human.
And then robot is.
Robot.
Full robot, yeah.
And then the humans send a human back to basically a soldier back, volunteer soldier.
Yeah, Kyle Reese.
Kyle Reese, played by.
What's his name?
And his
Michael.
Name's
is it Michael?
Michael Biehn.
Biehn, there you go. Is it Biehn?
To either kill the robot somehow or warn the mother of the. John Connor, let's just say Sarah Connor,
the leader of the resistance, isn't he?
And shits and giggles, basically.
Yeah. So sent back to 1984, I believe, because that's the year the film came out.
Right.
And it's basically a horror film, isn't it?
You know what? It's scary.
It is
frightening. At the very when, as he says in it, the robot he will not stop until he kills you.
Yeah.
And it's just that relentless. Doesn't get. I mean, probably most people have either seen it or are aware of the fact that Arnie ends up as just the endoskeleton. Either way, you're just left with a robot's exoskeleton, I think it is.
Like a skeleton frame. Made of metal, isn't it, basically?
Yes, after him. So, he's still after him. And the actual way that they try and stop him, I'm going to say try and stop him, is imaginative, but it's quite frightening. If you start thinking about how would you get away from him if he's just going to keep coming and coming and coming and coming.
Yeah, there's no way, is he? No way.
No, you're on the run.
Fantastic. Yeah, so I always describe it as a horror film, because if you think of things like Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers, it's this unstoppable, chaser. Someone's being chased, they're trying to kill them, basically, and that is the Terminator. The Terminator is trying to kill them. End of. There's no other objective but to kill them. And that first Terminator, though it's some of the effects have dated, it's still a fantastic film.
Yeah.
Terminator 2, on the other hand.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Yes. It's basically the same film, but ramped up to a million.
A huge, massive level.
Massive budget, massive special effect. A lot of groundbreaking special effects, because this time. And it's in the trailer, so it's not spoiler. It's one of the biggest spoilers in the trailer that they should never have done. So basically, they send back a new Terminator who is like liquid metal, can take
Robert
the form,
Patrick?
Yeah, who can take the form of other people. So can take
is it,
the form.
Is it as long as he touches? Does
yeah,
he have
once
to touch
he's touched them, he can take the form of them, and to combat that. The resistance have sent back a Terminator who it was Arnie, looks like Arnie, basically.
Did John Connor send Arnie back?
I think so, yeah.
So John Connor sent Arnie back to look after his younger self.
Yes.
And the T-1000, the liquid metal, so to speak, robot, is there to kill him.
Yeah. So it's not a rehash, but it's a sort of...
Very
similar
story.
It's the same story, same premise, but...
Everything's developed. The like you say, the budget's developed. The effects have developed, but the idea, and I think maybe the effects allowed them to develop that liquid metal.
Definitely.
And it's even worse in that it can walk through things. So there's the very famous scene where he walks through the. It's basically like a prison gate.
That's right.
And the gun stops him because he's able to walk through it, but he's holding on to a gun. And the gun sort of jams, and he's got to just twist it to get it clear.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's so good. It's so good.
Fantastic.
And another thing he can do is he can make blades and
knives. And other
can't make anything
shapes.
That moves or any machinery or anything.
So he can't make a gun. Can't make a bomb. They say can't have anything that's got sort of moving parts, but can make blunt instruments.
And then we've got the story again of it's unstoppable. And how do you stop? Because they try all sorts of methods that you think, oh yeah, we'll just do this, and it's like, oh, it didn't work, and then we'll just do, oh, it didn't work.
Yeah. best cameo, by the way, in a film from Robert Patrick as the T-1000 in Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Have you seen this boy? And that was funny because it was like, I'm sure it was the same year, or if not, it was very close to the same year. Brilliant. Again, lovely things from that film, like sort of special effects wise, is that there's a lot of use of the twins. Because did you know Linda Hamilton's a twin? So she plays Sarah Connor.
No.
So her twin is in it. So when they're doing things in the mirror, for example, she's on the other side of the mirror, inverted commas, and her twin, you can see the back of her twin's head.
I knew that the police, the prison guards were.
Yeah,
twins.
So there's two twins. Because the T-1000 turns into the one of the prison guards, they use the twins.
And that
as well.
Floor scene is the best, the one I'm
talking
about. That's when it happens, when you watch it for the first time, and even when you watch it again and you think, and you're looking for things and you start to spot things, and you think, that's great, that.
It is. Oh, for me, it's the helicopter scene. The helicopter, all that section with the. Where in the building and the helicopter comes along and then the T-1000 takes over the helicopter. Get out.
When it's, without harping on about the effects, what year was it? It was before
92, I think. Wow. 91 or 92.
It was definitely before the end of the millennium.
Right? Yeah.
But I watched that over the helicopter bit. And as he's pouring himself into the helicopter, so to speak, the reflections of the current pilot, you can see everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And how did they do that back then? That's that's amazing how they were able to do that back then.
It's fantastic,
and
isn't it?
It looks really, really, it's clean, it's, you can't see little bits of, like when you watch Jurassic Park, the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, they're blurry, they don't look right, you can see that they're
muddy.
Added on, off. Yeah, muddy, yeah, but this is so clear, and you just, well, what is real and what is computer generated?
Yeah. And like when the T-1000 walks out of that explosion, there's an explosion, and he walks out of it, and he walks out as liquid metal, and then just turns. You know, that was groundbreaking for the time.
And sometimes they'd have a foil suit, and then they'd digitise the uniform on afterwards.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'd do vice versa, and yeah.
Very, very
brilliant,
clever.
Brilliant film.
Fantastic films. Are we going to talk about the rest of them?
Let's not.
Yeah.
We could,
you know what? You
they're not as good.
If you never watched another Terminator film after 1 and 2...
Yeah.
You'd be alright.
Yeah.
Terminator 3 is okay, it's a rehash, but it's not a bad film, it's just more of the same. Terminator Salvation gets panned quite a lot, but I quite liked it because it takes it does something different. It's in the future, you see an old John Connor played by Christian Bale. It was just, again, a few things didn't need to happen, like the half man half Terminator, which again was spoiled in the trailer. There's no need for it. And then Terminator.
But he didn't know he was a Terminator.
He didn't know. I thought that was quite clever, actually. Yeah.
That was, yeah, sad.
Yeah.
Or did he know? Or did he not know?
I think he was. Was he programmed not to know? I think so. And then you've got the newest one, which is called Dark Fate, I think. Which again was all right, and it sort of
brings Linda back, doesn't it? Linda
Hamilton. It does, yeah. And all,
first
yes,
time,
yeah. It sort of ignores Terminator 3 and Salvation, and sort of says, well, this is what happened after Terminator 2, or this is another alternate timeline, because you can do all that with timeline, can't you?
Yes,
you can change it all the time. And again, it was all right. It was good. It just, I think they peaked with Terminator 2.
Yeah.
And yeah, nothing else you could do after that, really.
I'm just thinking now, moving on from Terminator, as long as you're happy to. Possibly the original It Will Not Stop Robot.
Go on.
Was before Westworld.
All right, see, now I've tried to watch Westworld quite a few times. I've never got my way through
the film?
The film, yeah. I've never watched a series, the film, yeah. I never get to the end, but is that what he's like? Is he...
Yeah, he will just not stop. You'll bring it.
You'll bring it.
And that's going to be 70s?
Yeah.
Is it? It's difficult to... 1973. So that was well before. Obviously well before. Another great film written by Michael Crichton. Michael Crichton?
Is it? Westworld?
Yeah.
Is he, yeah?
Jurassic Park and Congo, but
wow.
Also there's another one that everyone seems to forget about, which is Andromeda Strain, which I think might have even been before Westworld.
Right,
but we digress.
Yeah.
Westworld, again, pretty much where Terminator got it from, apart from the time travel thing.
Yeah.
But robot gone bad, though, in this case, as opposed to robot sent to kill somebody, assassin robot.
Like malfunction.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
What happened. He'd, obviously people have seen the series Westworld, but the film, pretty much nothing to do with it, really. It's the same world,
right.
As in, but the film is, they go along to Westworld, which you can do what you want. You've got medieval world, you've got samurai world, I think.
Like
Westworld.
A theme park, isn't
it? I think there's about
yeah.
four. And in Westworld, one of the guests has an encounter with the gunslinger, the gunslinger in black, played by Yul Brynner. And and yeah, there's a little malfunction, and basically he holds a grudge and he's after him. And then a couple more of the robots go wrong, and it's a little bit like Jurassic Park, and they start killing the guests. And this robot's still going to go for it, and yeah, he'll melt, he'll lose his face, and that's not a spoiler because it's in the main picture for it. But yeah, is this theme finished now? Are we moving away, not us, you and I, but are they moving away from these assassin robot films? I think that they are now.
Well, they tend, yeah, I mean, like, with, I was just looking at another one then, another sort of robot gone bad, if you like. They tend to be a bit more highbrow, don't they? Like you sort of
Yeah.
High-end science fiction. So I'm just looking at Ex Machina.
Yes.
Which is Alicia Vikander. That's how you pronounce it. Oscar Isaacs, a few other people as well. And basically a lad who gets the chance to be part of sort of this robotic experiment.
Mm.
This reclusive sort of millionaire's making, or scientists are making these robots. And Alicia Vikander, I can't pronounce her name. How do you pronounce that?
I think it's Alicia.
Alicia.
I think it's Alicia Vikander.
Vikander, there we go, let's go with that.
You see, you're struggling with the first name.
I know,
as
I
well.
Didn't even realise that. Sorry, because I know she listens. And yet she's sort of playing the robot who's, they are testing whether he can tell if she's a robot or not. And
couldn't have done it with a better actress, I don't think. Because she was just brilliant in it.
Oh, yeah, she's brilliant. I thought I was a digger at them, but no, she's brilliant.
No,
she's fantastic. And then it sort of, and again, it's a bit halfway through this, it comes to the conclusion that she doesn't realise she's a robot. And yeah, things turn sour. But yeah, fantastic film.
I've only seen that once, but it's one of those where it's like, you need to watch it again. But you kind of don't want the, there's a little bit of, what did Lee used to call it? A little bit of gratuity in it. But I don't want to watch it just for that to happen again and think, oh, I forgot about this. And I don't want people to think, but there you go.
Yeah,
but it's a brilliant film.
It's great. It's very, very sort of, that's highbrow, isn't it? It's your high-end science fiction.
Yeah.
What do you call hard science fiction, don't you? Yeah. Okay, any more have you got?
Chappie, which is a little bit of a...
Chappie, yeah, that's a good film. Oh, I'll tell you what, did get me that.
It's
did get me.
Not discussed. It's not that well known anymore, is it? It came out and then it went pretty quickly, unless it was against some better competition. But I'm struggling to remember the story. Was he a military robot? Was he like a police robot?
Yeah, it's something like that. And then he sort of gets...
he gets reprogrammed by the drug dealer. And becomes more human. Do they sort of start to try to teach him to become more human?
I think so. I think
just
he sort of
the
evolves
big bracelet,
himself.
The big necklace around his... And, oh, dear. And he just becomes... It reminds me a lot of District 9.
Yeah, well,
I wonder, is it
the same?
Is it the same?
Definitely Neil Blomkamp, who's the director. And I think that guy's in it. What's his name? The one from South Africa, I can never pronounce.
Charlton Copley.
That's the one.
He was in The A-Team as Murdoch, wasn't he?
Yeah. So I'm sure he plays Chappie. I'm 90% sure.
Yes, he does.
Is he? Oh, there you go.
And Hugh Jackman's in it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
but is it set in something like futuristic South Africa or something like that?
Not sure.
That District 9, I'm sure, was South Africa.
Definitely, District 9 was.
But it's not. What I like about both of those two films is that they're not set in this, in like Los Angeles. So many films are set in big, big places, and it's like these little. I don't know if you'd call them indie films. Maybe they are. I don't know. But they're getting away from that, and District 9 is almost like a ghetto, isn't it, for the aliens?
Yeah.
But we don't want to be talking about aliens.
Yeah.
And Chappie has that feel. He's a police robot stolen by criminals who treat it like their own child.
Yeah. And it is funny, but as I say, it did get me. It is a bit sad at times, which is crazy because it's a robot. It's made of. Well, it's not even real for start.
Well,
but it's a robot. It's made. You know, it's made of metal. It's not. It's not alive, but you still feel sad for it. And you still relate to it, and it's like it's its own character, isn't it? Even though it's the way it's programmed, it's strange emotions in it. But I would clump that in with a couple of films that sort of robots with sort of battling with their own sense of humanity. So AI is one, and Bicentennial Man. Have you seen either of those?
I've not seen Bicentennial Man.
So
I can see a little bit of AI, if you know what I mean.
It's Robin Williams, and he plays a sort of butler robot.
Yeah.
The owners basically disown him, or you know, leave him, and he ends up going off on his own. What was happening actually? In fact, I think they help him become more human. So they give him more emotions and give him extra upgrades to make him seem like he's thinking for himself and things like this, and then eventually when his owners die, he goes off on his own,
right?
And it's on a journey for him to become human. I really liked it. I'll be honest, I haven't seen it since I first seen it, but I remember, you know, welling up a bit about it a bit, because, you know, again, it's this inanimate object who's made to be like human and is striving to become more human. And you know what, Robin Williams in a bit of a straight role, though there's comedy parts to it. Yeah, I really liked it, enjoyed it, give it a go.
What was the other one you mentioned?
AI. And again, I've only seen AI once.
Now, who's the
so Spielberg
lead in that?
There's
the little kid in it.
Yeah,
Haley Osman.
Yeah, Haley Joel.
One of the Osmonds.
Is it? Yeah, Jude Law's in it.
Jude Law. That was the
Brendan
other.
Brendan Gleeson, Sam Robards. Don't know.
You see, I don't think I've seen it, but I've seen bits of it.
So it's very similar to Bicentennial Man, but obviously it's Spielberg. It's got a bit more clout to it. And it was apparently the film that Stanley Kubrick was going to make.
That rings a bell.
Or, you know, I'd done a screenplay for it, or something along those lines. I'd done a treatment for it. It was like the unfilmable film. And this one's a bit more epic, I'd say. But basically, he plays, his name's David, and he plays a robot child, and as a companion, as a sort of replacement. I think it's a replacement for the child who died, or certainly as a sibling for another child who's resented and then is sort of cast out, and then goes off into the world to find his place in the world and becomes, you know, trying to become more human and so on. And yeah, again, very sentimental, amazing sort of, you know, special effects and things, as you would expect from Spielberg. But yeah, Bicentennial Man's always stuck with me more than this, and I don't know why, but this one's rated a bit more highly. It gets 7.2 on IMDb. Yeah, it's not a bad film, but not amazing.
Well, sticking with sentimentality.
Go on. Good way.
And this is one that... It's an animated one. It's not robots, don't worry, because I know you're not fussed on that, but I like it.
Aliens, you mean?
No, I thought you didn't like robots.
Oh, the film robots?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you meant actual like robots as a genre.
It's The Iron Giant, 1999, but it's got more of an old 70s, 60s maybe even.
Aesthetic to it.
Disney hand-drawn feel to it, although it's a little bit more modern. And it's basically, robot from outer space, huge big robot from outer space, The Iron Giant. And a little boy who's struggling for friends befriends him, and that's the story. But it brings in a little bit of war, it brings in a little bit of, I suppose, xenophobia. Of course, he's from outer space. I think he's from outer space, yes. And, you know, all they want to do is blow him up. All the military wants to do is... Have you seen it?
No, I have read the book. Oh. I know it's not the same story.
Yeah.
So the book was The Iron Man by Ted Hughes,
right,
which was one of my favourites as a kid. And don't think it's the same story. So in that one, he's just walking around the countryside trying to, you know, find his place. And then, as you say, the humans, I think they bury him trick him to go into a pit. But then, strangely, a giant dragon lands on Australia. And the only way that they can stop it was with the Iron Giant, or the Iron Man. And he sort of fights him. And I'm saying, like, this dragon is the size of Australia. It lands on top of Australia. So it's totally different. But go on, so the film, any more?
Well, 8.1 on IMDb. But
decent,
didn't realise, it's directed by Brad Bird, who's done a couple
Pixar.
Of the Pixar things.
Yeah.
But I only saw that recently. When I say recently, because I'm old now, I'm talking about in the last 10 years. A couple of big names on there: Harry Connick Jr., Jennifer Aniston, Vin Diesel is the Iron Giant. He's gone up a little bit from that to the
Iron
Group.
Does he play the Iron Giant? Yeah.
I think he just goes rah, rah on that. So he's he's gone up to I Am Groot, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's got previous there.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of older faces that I recognise. I don't know if loads of people would, but it's a nice sentimental film, and it's only an hour and a half. Just one of those that makes you feel good, but it's about a robot from outer space.
Yeah, I believe it's good. And it's one of that. I went to go and watch it on, it was Amazon Prime at the time, and then it came off by the time I got around to seeing it. So it is one of them to watch. We'll get to it one of these days. But yeah, another sentimental one, you've just got it up there, is Short Circuit. Have you seen them?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Johnny Five is Alive.
Yeah.
So for those who have not seen it, this is like one of the most 80s films you can watch, can't you?
100%. Steve Guttenberg, end of.
Stereotypical Indian scientist. don't know whether he'd get away with these days.
I'm pretty sure he was not Indian.
I don't think he was.
And then in the sequel, it's even worse.
Yeah, because he's the main guy, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, but it's the story of a military, or there's a group of military robots, aren't they? Who, you know, who are designed and made, and one is struck by lightning and
fries circuits,
comes alive.
Which what number escapes. Is struck by lightning? What number is it?
He's Johnny. What? He's alive.
Johnny 6.
Johnny something is alive. I can't think anyway. Something. Oh, anyway. So yeah, and basically comes alive and escapes, and it's about the military trying to get him, but then he befriends a couple of people, Steve Guttenberg being one of them, and they try and protect him, and it's a little bit like E.T. in that sense, you know. The military are after him. Yeah. People are protecting him. Johnny 5 is alive.
Just looking at this, so Fisher Stevens, who plays the incredibly Indian scientist in it.
Yeah,
he's native Chicago and moved to New York. So that's a little bit poor taste, but back then, you know, it was inverted quote air quotes acceptable, but that's a bit, but anyway.
I know.
1986.
It's probably why you don't hear about a film anymore that often. I mean, I don't think I've seen it on the telly very often.
For a long time now.
But yeah, again, very sentimental, you know, because, you know, he wants to be alive. He just wants to be left alone. He just wants to be alive. And I can't remember what he's into, but he likes certain types of music and stuff like that.
He likes information.
Information, that's what he says, yeah. And he reads books that quick, doesn't he?
Yeah. Input.
That's what he says. That's it, yeah. Input, yeah. Oh, input. Yeah, so again, very sentimental, good for the kids, but very, very 80s.
Stuck out a big recent one.
Hit it.
That's still churning out sequel after sequel after sequel. So what's the latest one? Transformers.
Robots in Disguise was the tagline.
Yeah.
So the most recent one's called The Rise of the Beasts.
Rise of the Beasts, that's it. It's the Beast. And it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
So come on, it's now same old.
I loved Transformers as a kid. And obviously the toys and the cartoon and all the other stuff that goes with it.
What I loved about the cartoon is that the cartoons were the things that we had in our hands.
Yes.
They were exactly the same.
Yeah.
So for a lot of people who watch Transformers, if you haven't seen the cartoon or you haven't seen the original toys, that's what made it so endearing, I think.
Yeah.
And I got a shock when I saw the film.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before, haven't we? How good the special effects are.
But let's talk about it now.
We won't go into how good the special effects are, because they are amazing.
Yeah.
And even for the time, you know, even
but,
now.
But it's every single item on that robot moved, or that car.
Yeah,
everything moving. It's like, no, that's not how Transformers work. There's about four steps. You pull the legs out, then you flip them round, and then the head pops up. And it's like this just jumble of metal moving around.
Yeah, and it's a bit more organic in it.
Yeah, and I hated it the first time I saw it.
I mean, to be fair, I agree. The designs of the Transformers in the film, particularly the first one, are awful. They look dark. They, you know. Optimus Prime is meant to be bright red and blue.
Yes,
and
yeah.
He's not.
He's moody, isn't he?
You know, Bumblebee's meant to be a bright yellow, and you know, right, he is yellow, but it's not as yellow as it could be.
I think the whole film's a little bit moody, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit
more subtle and dark and
adult-esque, isn't it? It's not.
It's not like you say. It's not bright and vibrant. Even one of them were Kelsey Grammer's in it, and what's the other guy's name? And they go into the middle of a desert. It's not bright. It's a muted yellow.
It's your Michael Bay filter, isn't it? Yes. That's who the director is, if not the producers. Now they did redeem themselves for me, because Bumblebee, the film, is fantastic. Set in the '80s, I think. And Bumblebee looks like Bumblebee, and even Optimus Prime, when he turns up, looks like Optimus Prime, looks like the cartoon. And I think they redeemed themselves with it there.
But just going back to what I said, so the first time I saw it, I was shocked. But it really grew on me. Throughout the film, I was watching it, and I understood that they're not just going to go like that, as they did in the cartoon, that it needed to be moved on.
Yeah, it was more modern.
As I was watching it, I got it, and I appreciated it a little bit more. Still love the originals.
What about the original Transformers, the movie, though?
The movie.
So, do you know about the controversy behind it?
No.
So, obviously, you had the... So, the toys were made first. The toys were made in the original, like, sort of from Japan, and they were brought together. Different toy lines were brought together, and that's why you've got the goodies of the cars and the vehicles and the baddies of the planes. Basically, that's what it is, because they were two different toy lines brought together. So they made the cartoon in order to bump out these toys, and in the cartoon series, two series, I think it was, of the cartoon. You know, nothing major happened. It was just a standard Saturday morning cartoon, you know, 80s, you know, battling each other. The baddies always lose. Great. They brought the movie out in 86, I think it was. High animation, high storyline. Do you know the reason why they brought that film out? Because they wanted to make new toys. Everyone was getting sick of Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. And it wasn't even Bumblebee at the time, but, you know, all them. So you needed new toys. So what do you do? You kill off all the original cast. So Optimus, first 20 minutes, Optimus Prime gets killed off, Bumblebee gets killed off, all your favourites getting killed off, Megatron gets killed off.
And they're all replaced.
And they're replaced by new robots.
What annoyed me was Optimus Prime became something else Prime.
So you had
Rodimus Prime?
Hot Rod becomes Rodimus Prime. So he's like, it's like getting an upgrade, becomes a leader. And a few of them do get upgrades, but mainly, and Megatron becomes Galvatron. That's how they get around it. But basically, the only reason those people get killed, those robots get killed, is to sell more toys. But that film's great. I still watch that and look at the animation of it, and it just looks amazing.
From the start, who does the voiceover at the start? It's some big.
It's Orson Welles. Yeah. Orson Welles plays the planet eating robot, Unicron. You can tell I've seen it a few times. Leonard Nimoy plays Galvatron.
Because he comes back in the films, doesn't he?
That's right, yeah, he was in the films as well, wasn't he? So it follows on from the movie. Now, what they do in the series, because they had series one and two, then the movie. But then, because there's a big outcry, they bring back Optimus Prime eventually. So Optimus Prime comes back to life, as he should, eventually. But
isn't he still an upgraded one? Because I'm thinking of the toy. The toy was a car transporter.
I don't remember. Remember if what happens after that.
Instead of towing a trailer, he was towing a car transporter.
They probably did. They probably brought out another version.
And he was like really beefed up. It's like he'd been with Lee at the gym or Mr. Bear.
Yeah. So that's the cartoon. But anyway, so that's the whole reason. It was a toy line. It was made to sell toys. But the films, you know. To be fair, it brought it back to everyone knows what Transformers is now, whereas back then, when it first came out, it was sort of labouring a little bit. But yeah, they are cool films, you know, in terms of, you know,
you can just
robots and stuff.
Stick them on and watch them. They're not
The Last Night is an awful, it is. Terrible film. I couldn't tell you what happened.
And Anthony Hopkins is in it. And what is he doing in such a bad film?
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on, and a lot of them go on and on and on. But there we go.
Yeah.
What about one of the earliest ever robot films?
Oh, go on.
Which is probably one of the earliest films, full stop, Metropolis. Have you actually seen it?
No, I know of it and seen clips.
Didn't the robot in that give Lucas a bit of C-3PO.
It was based on C-3PO.
I suppose it's not about the robot. I mean, the robot makes an appearance near the end.
Spoilies.
Robot Maria. Is it spoily? I thought it was common knowledge.
I haven't seen it.
No, neither have I. But maybe if we're doing blinking podcasts on films, we should have watched something like this.
Well, this is why we watch the films. That's why we watch the films to see before you die, because we will eventually get to it. Yeah. If it's worth seeing. But yeah, the only thing that reminds me of is Queen's video to Radio Gaga, because they use footage from it in that.
That rings a bell now.
Yeah, that's any sort of knowledge I've got of it. There was a remake, an anime remake in the late 90s, 2000s or something, which wasn't very good. So, yeah, won't mention that one. But in terms of robots, I think I can't think of any more obvious ones. We haven't mentioned Star Wars, but then...
Yeah, it's not. But there is an obvious one. And if Lee was here, he would have mentioned it many, many times. Blade Runner.
Of course. What a film. So
I think I missed the boat a little bit with Blade Runner.
Mm.
I really, really can appreciate it. But if there's something else on, If Transformers was on, I'd probably watch Transformers.
I know. Richard.
Stop hitting me.
Blade Runner is an unbelievable film. So for those who haven't seen it, it's based on a book by Isaac Asimov.
Again.
Is it? No, sorry, I take it back. It's Philip K. Dick. And it was called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yes, yeah.
And which a book I've read, and it's nothing like the film, but it takes the themes of it basically. So Harrison Ford plays a Blade Runner, and they're the people who go out to hunt androids who have escaped
themselves.
Yeah, escaped captivity, if you like, because androids are there to be used as tools. They last for 8 years and then they cease to work. And they get sent off to I think it's Titan or Mars, or it's the colony they call it, I think, don't they? And basically Harrison Ford's chasing this one android that's come back to Earth. A group of androids who've come back to Earth.
Yeah, there's about three of them.
Something like that. But yeah, I think it starts off at five and then two, you catch two quite quickly, I think. And basically it's that age old question. How do you know you're not a robot?
Mm.
Like, what makes you human? What makes you you? What is the difference between a robot that thinks it's a robot? Or sorry, a robot thinks it's human and a human that is a human.
I think in one of it, they say, I feel like a human. Or so there's a line and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. And then you could query that for everybody and everything could say that.
Yeah. Had a troubled sort of production afterwards. Ridley Scott was the director, and there's been probably about six versions of it. I think we're up to the uncut, the director's uncut version, or something stupid like that, which is the one I've seen. And yeah, is because it started off having a happy ending. It was sort of cut to bits by the studio, had a happy ending, plonked on the end. It had some sort of unicorn scene, had a voiceover, Harrison Ford doing a voiceover, and apparently that voiceover, he said he disagreed with the voiceover being there, so he turned up half drunk or hungover and just done it as plain as possible, so it's like the worst voice acting you ever hear, apparently. But yeah, it's the cut that I've seen, the uncut, whatever it's called, it's a good film. It's great. I mean, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The futuristic Los Angeles.
Vangelis futuristic Vangelis music as well.
Soundtrack. Is it
Los Angeles?
I think so, yeah, I'm sure.
Because it's very, very Tokyo looking.
Well, I think that's the point, isn't it?
That's just taken over and it's because that culture. It's amazing.
Yeah, mixture of cultures, basically. So you've got. Is it Chinatown or Tokyo? I can't remember which one it is. And yeah, it's all neon, it's dark, it's always raining, it's bleak. It is the sort of template for cyberpunk on screen. You know, you've The Matrix and Ghost in the Shell, all those cyberpunk films have, you know, taken a lot from Blade Runner, how it looks. Mm. And I really, really enjoyed Blade Runner 2049, whatever it is, the sequel, semi-sequel, with Ryan Gosling. Again, a great film. Question, so have you seen Blade Runner?
Yes, yeah.
So, and again, apologies if I'm seeing it, but hopefully it's unspoiler. So, to you, is he an android? Is he a simulant? What do they call them?
I thought it was simulant.
Is it simulant? So is he one? Because what do you think?
Well, I suppose we're only told he is.
Well, we're not. There's nothing in the film to say he's an android.
What about the other two? The main characters, you got Sean, Duda, and Daryl Hannah.
Yeah. Oh, they are. They definitely are.
But Roy. Is Roy a robot? Roy the robot. Yeah, there you go.
Played by Harrison Ford.
Roy the robot.
Roy the robot.
Harrison Ford.
Deckard. Is he a...
No, of course not.
Okay. Is he though? Because a lot of people think he is. Now, I think the sequel sort of answered that question because...
It does.
Because he ages.
At the very, very start. No, at the very start. Who's the big guy off Guardians of the Galaxy? Isn't he in it at the start?
Is he? Batista?
Isn't he the opening scene is not somebody hunting down Batista.
Yeah.
And he says something about and this is in the first 5 minutes, so I'm not going to say it's spoily. Doesn't he say something about you're hunting your own kind or something along those lines, implying that you're one of us?
Yeah.
That's possibly, all I can think
possibly.
Of.
Possibly. I can't remember. Yeah.
Was it Dave Bautista at the very start? If it's not him, it's the other big huge one who was in one of the Bond, last Bond films.
Well, Batista was in a Bond film.
Oh, well, in that case.
So BM, yeah.
He looks totally different, doesn't he? Without all the makeup on.
Yeah,
he does. Without all of that, yeah. He needs to keep the blue look. Is it blue?
Whatever, called it, like grey, isn't he? Yeah. But, so, I mean, is he? I don't know if I've ever made my mind up whether he is or isn't. But I think that's the point, innit? The point is, it doesn't matter. It's what you feel as a person.
Yeah.
Or Android, whatever you want. Yeah. I can't think of any more that stick out for me, but I suppose we did briefly mention Star Wars. The androids, you know, they're probably...
There's too many.
Up there. I'm not the main two. They're like the iconic robots, aren't they? You know, R2-D2, C-3PO, you know, absolutely iconic designs. And, you know, so much... R2-D2's got so much character to him. He's a cheeky bastard, but all he does is beep. You know what I mean? You know how you can get so much like sort of not emotion, but
thing is, if 3PO can what how many million of forms of communication can 3PO translate?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just make R2-D2 speak English? Wouldn't it have made it a lot easier?
No, but that's the point, though.
Or at least have subtitles for him. Yeah. But I like the way we know what he's saying. We know that cheekiness from what 3PO replies.
Yeah.
But going back to sort of like endearing little robots. Have you seen Ron's Gone Wrong?
No, no.
Now this is a recent one. This is a recent film. I think it's a Netflix. But there's also the Mitchells versus the Machines.
Now I've seen parts of that.
That is brilliant. That is. But let's go back to Ron's Gone Wrong. So this is your. Everybody's got a Ron. Everybody in the world has got a Ron, and it's basically your little friend. Everybody's got a little friend. All the kids have got. It's I suppose an equivalent of the phone, but in the future.
Yeah,
little mate robot.
Yeah.
Apart from this one guy, and I don't know his name, but it doesn't really matter right now. Let's see, Barney. Okay, so Barney hasn't got Ron because he's the skin basically. So his mum goes out and finds him a knockoff one. Ron, and he's a little bit wonky, basically. It should be Wonky Ron's Gone
Wonky
Wrong.
Ron.
So, and then it's sort of like, again, the robot goes bad, and they try and fix him, and all things turn to crap, but he's becoming more human.
Yeah.
And again, but it's just a lovely story because of the relationship, and this sounds really strange, that Ron and Barney have got and yeah, it's a bit of a tearjerker for some, but it's just one of those nice films, and it's gone under the radar, but I think now because Netflix, Amazon, all those streaming services are just producing so many things, it's not like the old days where if something comes on the cinema, it's on the buses, it's on it's advertised all over, you get trailers in.
But this, I think that was on the pictures because Lorna took time to see it. Yeah,
right.
I haven't seen it. I think it's on Disney Plus. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's Disney. Strangely, it's one of them. They really liked it. Thomas really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and Lorna thought it was good as well. So
I really liked it.
Yeah, you liked
it. Mitchells versus the Machines is just mental.
Yeah,
machines are trying to take over the world. I can't remember I think they're from outer space. The family is the Mitchell. And it's just crazy.
It's AI, I think, isn't it just an AI? An AI sort of goes into the phones.
Oh, you could be right there. And changes could be.
Yeah.
All I remember is how much fun it was.
Yeah.
So again, not a biggie. And we're going to sort of like kids' films now.
Yeah, well, that was really highly rated as well.
So
it was
funny.
Done by the same people. I don't know if it's directed on that, but the same people who done Spider-Verse, Into the Spider-Verse, and that's why it looks so good, because the art direction's apparently fantastic. It was highly rated, that one.
So Mitchells versus the Machines.
Need to watch that one.
We've
got any more kids' films that you think? I mean, one big obvious one.
We talked about it a second ago. Robots with Robin Williams. And so, do you like it or not?
I wasn't a fan of it. I didn't like it. It didn't.
Because I like it.
I don't know what it is. I like Robin Williams, but I just don't know. It didn't grab me.
But go on, what's the obvious
one? I was going to say WALL-E.
Yes.
Yeah. What a great film. I mean, we always talk about Disney and Pixar.
It's been 20 years old now.
That's probably pushing, isn't it? But
it's stood the test of time.
That iconic design, that little sort of cube shape with the two eyes sticking up the top, and the little hands, brilliant, fantastic, and again, for those who don't know the story, basically it's set in the future. Planet Earth is a dumping ground.
Yeah.
Humans have gone off to colonize the, you know, the universe, whatever. And Wall-E is one of the.
Is he
the only or one of?
Oh, there's loads of them.
Isn't he loads? But then he's the last one.
Yeah.
So he's the last robot to keep the planet sort of.
He's basically a possible compactor, isn't he?
Yeah. So he doesn't he organises all the rubbish, doesn't he?
Yeah. And he sticks it himself. He sticks it inside himself, and he compresses it into a cuboid or a cube. I can't remember. Just in case there's any geeky mathematicians listening. And then he stacks them.
What a gang of knobheads! But go on.
And he stacks them, and the idea is that we'll go off into space. These robots will sort out all the waste on Earth, and we'll come back, and it'll be all sorted for us inside there. But Claire hates it because, and I think she's right. It's kind of like a little bleak look at how we are evolving, and we are glued to our phones now.
Yeah.
And the way they're just in their chairs, and they've got a screen in front of them, and they're talking to each other through the screen, although they're sat next to each other.
Yeah.
and their bones have degraded because they're not using them, and they're just all bleh, as fat heifers. Or walrus type people. They don't look. They look very.
They sit on like
cartoony humans. Yeah. They're just. Their limbs are moulding into each other's limb.
Aren't the chairs like gravity? Like they float around.
They
on
just
the chairs,
move
don't
them
they,
around, so they don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And then when one of the chairs malfunctions and throws somebody out of the chair, and the screen goes, and it's like, oh my god, what? And they look around and see. It's like, how long has this been here? What's that? And they start playing in a fountain, I think.
Mm.
And I think that's nice. That if you get people take kids, take their phones off them.
Yeah.
And get them out. It's a little bit like The Simpsons did it when the electricity went off and they had to go out into the world and actually play in the street.
One. Yeah.
And it's nice, and it's got a brilliant end to it. And when the credits are rolling, they are setting up shop again on the Earth, and it's a brilliant soundtrack by...
Spoilies. Go on, soundtrack by...
Peter Gabriel.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, that last song is Peter Gabriel's.
Oh, right.
So...
Very good.
What a film.
Yeah, fantastic.
And animation-wise...
Oh, it's outstanding.
One of those that... So, because I'm a sad geek, it's one of those that what Hi-Fi have got for your sound and your vision. Mm. So, if you want to test your new telly or your new surround sound, there's certain scenes from certain films that they say, and it's the one where he's out in space with the fire hydrant.
Oh, yeah.
And they reckon that's one of the best to test your new surround sound system.
Oh.
Because you can hear it going on.
Oh, I see,
going
right all the way around,
Very good film. It's a pity. Could they have made a sequel? I don't know.
Well, you never know. I mean, Pixar like making sequels these days, so you never know. You never know.
Finding Nemo, we had Finding Dory, Toy Story, obviously loads. Up, they didn't do anything, but maybe it's time. Yeah, maybe they don't need to. It's a nice little standalone film.
Yeah. Well, another of my favourite robots, though it's not really a robot film, and again, because I've read the book and really love the book, is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes. What's the robot?
What's his name?
Melvin.
It's not Melvin.
Could be Melvin.
Go on, we'll have to look it up. But basically, he is the
Melvin the robot.
He is the most depressed robot in the world. He's got he keeps saying, I've got a brain the size of a planet. Played by, in the film, Snape. Sirius Snape. What's his name?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. What's his name?
I don't know why I'm thinking Hugh Jackman.
I always forget his name.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman. Played by Alan Rickman in the film.
There's the picture.
What's his name?
It does say it's Melvin.
Melvin.
Paranoid Android.
But there you go. That's where Radiohead got the name from, Paranoid Android. So basically, he's the first robot to have emotions built into his brain. Unfortunately, that emotion just tends to be depressed all the time.
Now they're calling him Marvin. Oh, Marvin.
I thought it was Marvin. Might be called Melvin now.
It might.
Yeah, Marvin. I thought so because I get getting confused anyway. But yeah, so Marvin, he's a depressed robot. He can do these massive calculations dead quick, but he's just so depressed. I'm so depressed. Marvin, can you do that calculation for us? oh, if I must, I'll have to do it then. Here you go. Here's your answer. And it's just like this super, super intelligent robot, probably, you know, worth millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. You know, it's amazing technology, and it sounds like a bored teenager. just love it. I do prefer the design in the film compared to the old TV series. The old TV series looks very boxy. It's very sort of, but then that's part of the joke, I suppose, is very, you know, low budget the way it's made.
Yeah.
Whereas the one in the film, he's got this big circular, you know, spherical head. He's small.
And he's got unhappy eyes.
Yeah.
He's got sad eyes.
Now, I wonder, is he played by Warwick Davis? I've just had a thought then. What's his name? Marvin, isn't it? Marvin the robot. Marvin the robot. Come on. Come on.
Right, I've got into
played by, here we go. Warwick Davis, I was right.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah,
see?
Got him. Marvin Warwick Davis. Warwick Davis.
Yeah,
Stephen Fry's the narrator in it.
Yes, he is. Hitchhiker's Guide. That's probably one of my favourite books that I've read. I've read the first five in the trilogy. And that's what they're called. Book five of a trilogy.
Sorry, I just cottoned on to what you said.
And I was waiting for you to react, but no. But yeah, the film's great, but yeah, the robot.
Good robot.
Yeah, I like it. Any more?
I don't. You know what? I think I've exhausted everything.
What about films you'd like to see? Because I've got one there I'd like to see.
Transformers: The Rise of the Beasts.
The new one. I like it.
No, I'm gonna have to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to.
Well, there's two I want to see, and I can't think what the other one was. Oh, The Machines, was it? The Mitchells vs. Machines.
Mitchells vs. Machines.
But one I do want to see, because it looks proper creepy, is Megan. Have you seen the advert for this?
No.
So it's like an...
I see.
A doll.
Oh, yes.
But it's
yeah.
obviously a robot, and it does all these weird dance moves and stuff, but it looks so weird, it looks so freaky. It's a bit of a horror film. Obviously, it goes wrong. It's like a child's companion. And I don't know what happens when it starts trying to kill the family or to kill the kid or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it looks very, very creepy. So I'm going to try and watch that in terms of robot ones. What are you going to endeavour to watch?
I don't know. I think
I put it on the spot here a bit.
Either AI or Bicentennial. That one.
Yeah,
Bicentennial Man. Because I've not seen them, but a lot of the others.
Yeah, I can't say it's a great film. But right. I remember it. It's memorable.
Yeah, but gotta watch
it. Got me in the feels.
Oh, there's one more.
Go on.
Hugh Jackman again. Real Steel.
Oh.
Where they make their own robots.
Are they robots?
They make them.
But they're controlling them. Is that a robot? Is it a robot? The robots
aren't.
No. That feels more like
Robot Wars.
Yeah.
But that hang on, Robot Wars.
Yeah, robots like. Yeah.
That's okay, well.
Real Steel is a good film, though, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. It is.
I
it's
like
all right.
It
is.
I like it.
Hugh Jackman's good. Very watchable.
There is actually one more, and it's called Robot and Frank. And basically, Frank's got dimension. Frank's got dementia. Set in the near future, but not silly future, in that it's like it's not in the future. But the robot in Robot and Frank is sent to help him. And and Frank's an old, I think, I can't remember if he's a reformed thief, but he then decides that he and the robot are going to go out and start stealing again. Frank is played by, I'm sure he's played by Frank
I was going to say his first name's Frank, but I can't remember his second name.
I really like him. I like him. He's a brilliant actor.
Yeah. Seen him in loads of things. But
he's in The Box, which if I look for The Box, then it'll give me him, because The Box is quite a good film. But anyway, Frank Langella. There you go. I wasn't a million miles off. So Frank Langella's. yeah, we got there in the end, but he's playing Frank, and it's very sad. And Frank's wife is on the scene, and his daughter, and it's a very lonely film, In that there's not many people. It's not warm. I'm sure that the house is in the forest, something like that. It's very isolated.
Yeah.
But there's a really sad development through the film. Not a robot. It's more like the robot in iRobot that are there to help you.
Mm.
And it's just an easy watch.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Good.
It's quite a good film.
Yeah. Well, I've got one more that I want to see, and I'm sorry. And it's Brian and Charles from last year, from 2022. It looks like a film, but basically it's an inventor who lives in Wales, and he makes his own robot. But the robot just looks awful.
Yeah.
it looks like a fella in a box, and it's meant to, like, he's got really massive shoulders and little tiny head, but it looks like a comedy, like a bit of a comedy, because he sort of argues with his argument with the robot that he's invented on there.
Right.
So have you not seen this advertised?
No.
So I'm going to try and give that a go as well in terms of robots. Right, final thing, if you could recommend one robot themed film today, right now, what's it going to be?
I think iRobot.
iRobot.
Yeah.
It is class, isn't it? iRobot. I will recommend Terminator 1 and 2. And the others are alright.
Yeah. There's a lot of goodies. And a little bit like what we said the other day, that we don't seem to have touched on many, apart from the Transformers, which are watchable, but there's nothing really rubbish where people have stuck robots in them, or is it just that we've not seen them?
Yeah, except robots.
There hasn't been any failures. Robots is lovely.
I think AI is seen as a failure, you know, well, at least a box office failure, because of how much money you spent on it,
I wonder what it would have been like under Mr. Kubrick's direction.
Yeah.
It could have been his final masterpiece. What was his final masterpiece, Eyes Wide Shut?
Probably.
It could have been his final masterpiece.
Yeah. I mean, imagine it looking a bit like 2001. You know, that sort of...
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Is that a robot?
He's a robot.
Is Hal
a
robot?
Oh, my God.
No, Hal's not a robot. He's a computer. He's an AI.
Fair enough.
I'm not accepting that one.
Well, what's the definition of a robot? Can it move itself? There's another film. I think
we should have done that to start the episode. Really.
There's another film. I think it's called I Am Mother, which is a bit creepy, set in the future where the... is it I Am Mother? You talk about it while I'm talking about it.
I'll find out. 2019.
Oh, you got it already.
I Am Mother. Humanity on the brink of extinction, but a robot raises a girl on a rock base to give humans a second chance.
But the thing is, the robot pretends that there's no human race left. And that's the whole story. Is there human race? It's very like Cloverleaf Lane. Is it?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Is there actually something going on up there?
Mm.
Or is it, am I just keeping you? So
yeah.
is there a nuclear war going on out there, or am I just keeping you against your will? And that's I Am Mother, which is, a little bit unsettling. Can't remember how it ends. Maybe it's not that good. 6.7, though, wasn't it?
I am, but
there we go. So, robots have got to move themselves around.
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Super. Because all ours have, the ones we mentioned, I think. Right, brilliant. Thanks a lot, Richard. And thanks for listening, buddy. Really do appreciate all your listening. We've got loads of listening coming up now. So if you can, share it on your social medias. Go and tell your friends, amuse your enemies. I'm going to use that. It's from Monty Python. I'm going to use that all the time now. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in contact, on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or you can email us, chatandflixhotmail.com. And next episode, we probably think, is going to be...
The Matrix
as our next film to see before you die. All right, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.